Welcome to Cyber Shield Weekly, the podcast that turns this week's most dangerous cybersecurity threats into clear, actionable intelligence for your business. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sarah. It is Tuesday, July 20th, 2026, and we are on Volume 1, Issue 43.
Big week, and I mean that in the worst possible way. We have got Russian spies hijacking security cameras to watch NATO weapons shipments. We have got a 7-zip flaw that can run malicious code just by opening a file. We have got AI being used to run a botnet targeting dental clinics. Yes, dental clinics. And we have got a pile of critical vulnerabilities in some of the most widely used software on the planet.
It is genuinely one of those weeks where the sheer variety of attack vectors is almost overwhelming. But we are going to break it all down, keep it practical, and make sure you walk away knowing exactly what to do.
That is the promise. Here's the plan. We'll hit the top threats first, translate the government alerts, do our small business corner, walk through a hands-on tech tip, and then hear the strategic view from Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation at the CTO's desk. Let's get into it. All right, top threats. And Sarah, I want to start with what I think is the most viscerally alarming story of the week, because it has a geopolitical dimension that every business leader needs to understand, even if they think it has nothing to do with them. Russian intelligence is hijacking IP cameras, internet-connected security cameras, to surveil NATO military logistics.
This one stopped me cold when I read it. So here's what's happening. At least one Russian intelligence service has been systematically compromising IP cameras across Europe and Ukraine, and they are not just watching. They are using those camera feeds to track military transport routes, monitor weapon shipments heading into Ukraine, and observe troop movements. This is active military intelligence collection happening through civilian security hardware.
And the connection to a 50-person business in, say, Indianapolis or Manchester?
Here is the connection. The cameras being compromised are not special military hardware. They are the same brands sitting in small business lobbies, warehouses, parking lots, and office hallways right now. Hikvision cameras, HIKVISION, are one of the most targeted product lines, and the Internet Storm Center flagged this week that there are active internet-wide scans for the Hikvision Intelligence Security API happening right now. An API, for anyone unfamiliar, is basically a door in the software that allows external systems to communicate with a device. If that door is unlocked, anyone can walk through.
And the root cause here is almost embarrassingly simple.
Default credentials. Most of these cameras ship with a factory set username and password, often something like admin/admin or admin/12345, and businesses install them, connect them to the internet, and never change those credentials. Russian intelligence does not need a sophisticated exploit when the front door is already wide open.
So the action item here is immediate and non-negotiable.
Log into every internet-connected camera, every smart device, every router on your network today, and change the default credentials to something strong and unique. If you do not know how to do that, call whoever manages your IT. And if your cameras have not received a firmware update is basically a software patch for the device's built-in operating system. In the last 6 months, check the manufacturer's website right now.
Perfect segue, actually, to our second threat, because firmware and patching are at the center of this one, too. CVE-2026-14266, the 7-zip vulnerability.
So 7-zip is a file compression tool. It is free, enormously popular, and used by millions of businesses and individuals to open compressed files. Think of zip files, but with additional formats. One of those formats is .exe. The vulnerability, CVE-2026-14266, is what is called a heap-based buffer overflow in how 7-zip processes .exe chunked data. Let me translate that. When 7-zip opens a specially crafted .exe archive, it writes more data into a section of memory than that section can hold, and that overflow can be exploited to run arbitrary code, meaning the attacker's code, on your machine.
Trend Micro's zero-day initiative detailed this on July 15th, and the good news.
There is good news. A fix actually shipped in June, before the public disclosure. So if you have 7-zip installed and you have not updated it recently, you are sitting on a patched vulnerability that you just haven't applied yet.
Which is genuinely the most common story in cybersecurity. The patch exists, it is free, it has not been installed.
Exactly. Go to 7-zip.org, download the latest version right now, and push it to every machine in your environment. If you have an IT team or a managed service provider, that is, a company you pay to manage your IT, send them this episode and tell them you want confirmation that 7-zip is updated across every endpoint. An endpoint, by the way, is just any device, laptop, desktop, server, connected to your network.
Third story, And this is the one that Daniel Ramos, our CTO, called the best story he had ever read about AI being used for cybercrime. And he is not wrong.
A solo Russian-speaking threat actor using the handle Bandcamp Pro used Google's open-source Gemini CLI to automate the management of a botnet. A botnet, for context, is a collection of compromised computers that an attacker controls remotely. This particular botnet consisted of 8 compromised dental clinic PCs. Researchers analyzed 200 Gemini CLI session logs from between March and this month, and what they found was remarkable. This one person was essentially using AI as an assistant to run their criminal operation, issuing commands, managing the compromised machines, and automating tasks that would normally require a team.
And I want to sit with that for a moment, because the scale sounds small, 8 dental clinic computers, but the implication is enormous.
Right. Because what this tells us is that the barrier to running a sophisticated multi-system attack operation is collapsing. You no longer need a criminal organization with dozens of people. One person with a laptop and access to publicly available AI tools can now operate with the efficiency of a small team. And those 8 dental clinics almost certainly had no idea they were part of a botnet.
How does a dental clinic PC get recruited into a botnet without anyone noticing?
Usually through phishing. A deceptive email or link that installs malware. The malware runs quietly in the background, using only a small slice of computing power so it does not slow the machine down in an obvious way. The dental staff are booking appointments, sending x-rays, and running their day, and the computer is simultaneously doing something else entirely.
So what does a small business do with this information?
3 things. Enable multi-factor authentication, MFA, on every account. MFA means that even if someone steals a password, they cannot log in without a second verification step, like a code sent to your phone. 2, audit your endpoints. If you have 10 computers in your office, when did someone last check that those machines are running authorized software only? 3, consider an endpoint detection and response tool, EDR, which is software specifically designed to watch for suspicious behavior on individual computers. Many are now affordable for small businesses.
And our 4th top threat ties everything together, because this week also brought critical vulnerabilities in WordPress, SonnetWall, and SharePoint, all simultaneously.
WordPress is the platform powering roughly 43% of all websites on the internet. SonnetWall makes network security appliances, essentially the boxes that protect your internet connection. SharePoint is Microsoft's collaborative document platform used by millions of businesses. All 3 had significant vulnerabilities disclosed or actively exploited this week, and the common thread is what security professionals call the exposure window, the time between when a vulnerability is known and when it is patched on your systems.
And that concept of the exposure window is actually tied to a bigger story this week about Anthropic's Mythos AI system and what it is doing to the vulnerability pipeline.
This is a critical strategic point. Mythos is an AI system from Anthropic that has dramatically accelerated the discovery of new CVEs, common vulnerabilities and exposures, which are formally cataloged security flaws. The concern was always volume. Would AI discovery flood the security industry with so many new vulnerabilities that teams could not keep up? And the answer appears to be yes. The exposure window, that gap between discovery and patching, is becoming the central battleground. Because if attackers can find and exploit a vulnerability faster than defenders can patch it, the defenders are always playing catch-up.
Which is a perfect segue to the government alerts, because some of the federal guidance this week speaks directly to this.
The Internet Storm Center, which is a global network of security researchers that monitors internet threats in real time, has been flagging multiple active scan campaigns this week. The Hikvision scans we mentioned, active exploitation attempts against SonicWall, and a broader advisory co-issued by the UK and allied governments specifically warning about Russian state actors exploiting poorly configured routers.
Routers, for anyone unfamiliar, are the devices that direct internet traffic in and out of your network. And poorly configured means default settings that were never hardened, never changed from their factory defaults.
The UK allied advisory is important because it is not theoretical. It says Russian intelligence actors are actively and globally exploiting routers with weak configurations, and critical sectors, which includes healthcare, logistics, manufacturing, professional services, are specifically named as targets.
And the practical translation of that advisory for a business owner?
Your router is not a set-it-and-forget-it device. It is a network security device that needs to be configured correctly, updated regularly, and reviewed periodically.
If your internet router was installed by your internet service provider 3 years ago and no one has touched it since, that is a risk. Call your IT provider or call your ISP and ask specifically whether your router firmware is current and whether the administrative interface is accessible from the public internet. That last one, administrative interface accessible from the public internet, means whether a stranger sitting anywhere in the world can attempt to log into your router's management page. The answer should be no.
Let us get into the small business corner, because there are actually some genuinely encouraging developments this week alongside all the threats.
Which I love, because this show is not just about fear, it is about action. And this week, the resources available to small businesses expanded in a meaningful way. Cyber Advisors are offering free 30-minute consultations to help small businesses get started with cybersecurity. Free. 30 minutes, no obligation. If you own or manage a small business and you genuinely do not know where to start, that is a starting point. We'll have the link in the show notes.
And the UK government this week published new guidance on Cyber Essentials, which is a certification framework that gives small businesses a structured pathway to provably improving their security posture. There is now an alternative pathway to Cyber Essentials Plus certification that makes it more accessible without lowering the standard.
The reason this matters, even if you are not in the UK, is that the framework itself is excellent. Cyber Essentials identifies 5 basic controls: boundary firewalls, secure configuration, access control, malware protection, and patch management. And if you implement those 5 things properly, you eliminate the vast majority of common attacks. It is not the ceiling of what good security looks like, but it is a very solid floor.
And that connects to the theme this week, which is that most of the attacks we covered at the top of the show, the compromised cameras, the 7-Zip exploit, the dental clinic botnet, all of them would have been stopped or significantly mitigated by basic controls done well.
That is the uncomfortable truth. The most effective defense most small businesses can deploy is not expensive or exotic. It is doing the fundamentals consistently. Patching, strong credentials, MFA, network segmentation. The attackers are not usually finding exotic ways in. They are walking through doors that were left unlocked.
All right, tech tip time. And this week, we are walking through something that is relevant to every single story we've covered today: changing default credentials on your network-connected devices. Let us do this step by step, as if we are coaching a business owner who has never done it before.
Perfect. So first, you need to build a simple inventory. You're looking for any device in your office that connects to your network and has its own web-based management interface. That means your router, any network switches, your IP cameras, any smart TVs or displays, any network-attached storage devices. Those are basically hard drives connected to your network, and any printers that are network-connected.
And how does someone find these devices if they do not already have a list?
Most routers have a connected devices page in their admin interface. You access it by typing your router's IP address, usually something like 192.168.1.1, into a web browser while connected to your office network. Log in using the credentials on the sticker on the back of the router if you have never changed them. And that is exactly the problem we are here to fix.
Step 2.
For each device you identify, find the manufacturer's default username and password. You can usually Google the device model name plus the word default credentials. Once you have logged in with the default credentials, find the settings area for administrator password or account management. Change the password to something at least 16 characters long, using a mix of letters, numbers, and symbols. Do not reuse passwords across devices.
And the practical question, how do you remember all of these passwords?
You use a password manager. A password manager is software that securely stores all your passwords in an encrypted vault. You only need to remember one master password. Bitwarden, 1Password, and Dashlane are all reputable options, and Bitwarden has a free tier. Store every device credential in there the moment you create it.
Step 3.
While you are logged into each device, check for firmware updates. There is usually a section called Firmware Update, System Update, or Software Update in the Settings menu. Install any available updates. If automatic updates are available, enable them.
And step 4 is the one most people skip.
Disable remote management if you do not need it. Remote management means that someone can access the device's admin interface from outside your network, from the internet. If you do not have a specific reason to have this enabled, turn it off. It is a door that does not need to exist.
Excellent. Do that this week. Block off 1 hour, make the list, change the credentials, update the firmware. It is not glamorous, but it is exactly the kind of thing that keeps Russian intelligence out of your parking lot camera.
And off your dental chair computers.
Exactly. All right, CTO's desk. Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation. And Daniel brought his full energy this week.
He really did. His note opened with the line, and I am quoting directly, "This week's threat landscape reads like the plot of a spy thriller written by someone who also moonlights as a dental hygienist." And honestly, that is accurate.
But underneath the wit, Daniel's actual strategic point is sharp and worth spending time on. He frames patching not as an IT task, but as a professional minimum standard. His exact line was that patching is the cybersecurity equivalent of wearing pants to a Zoom call. Just do it.
What I love about that framing is it removes the complexity from the conversation. Businesses sometimes treat patching as optional or as something to schedule for a convenient time. Daniel is saying there is no convenient alternative to having your systems patched. It is baseline professional hygiene.
And his other key observation ties directly into the Mythos story and the exposure window. He writes, 0 days wait for no one. A zero-day vulnerability is a flaw that is either unknown to the vendor or known but not yet patched. When one of those is discovered, the race begins. The attackers move immediately. The defenders have to move faster than they often do.
The strategic implication for a business leader is this. You cannot manage your cybersecurity posture with monthly patch cycles anymore. The threat environment is moving too fast. You need either an in-house IT team that is patching continuously or a managed service provider with a proven, documented patching cadence, meaning they can show you, in writing, how frequently patches are applied and how they know every system is covered.
Daniel also highlighted the AI dimension, the Gemini CLI botnet story, and his point there is the one I want every listener to carry out of this episode. He says, AI-powered cybercrime has arrived, and its first victims were people who just wanted to remind you about your overdue cleaning. That is funny. It is also a serious observation. The sophistication floor for attackers has dropped. A solo actor with a commodity AI tool can now run operations that previously required a team.
And the defensive implication is that you cannot assume you are too small or uninteresting to be targeted. The dental clinics targeted this week were not targeted because they were strategically important. They were targeting because they were accessible, because their defenses were weak enough that one person with an AI assistant could take them over.
That is the democratization of attack capability. And the business response has to be to raise the cost of attacking you. Not to become impenetrable, that is not realistic, but to make your organization a harder target than the one next to you. Patch your systems, enable MFA, change default credentials, use a password manager, run endpoint detection. These are not expensive measures. They are the measures that separate the businesses that get compromised from the ones that do not.
And do not forget the free consultation offer this week. If you are listening to this and you know you need help, but you do not know where to start, a free 30-minute conversation with a cyber advisor is exactly where to start. Link is in the show notes.
All right, let us close it out. Three takeaways from this week. Sarah, hit them.
Number one, if you have internet-connected cameras, routers, or any network devices with default credentials still set, changing those credentials is your highest priority action this week. Not next week, this week.
Number two, update 7-Zip on every machine in your environment. CVE-2026-14266 is patched. The fix exists. Installing it is the entire job.
Number three, the exposure window is now your most important security metric. The time between a vulnerability being known and it being patched on your systems is the window attackers are exploiting. Shrink that window. Talk to your IT team or managed service provider today about what your patching cadence actually looks like.
That is CyberShield Weekly for July 20th, 2026. If this episode was useful to you, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review and share this with a colleague who needs to hear it. The more business owners who are informed and prepared, the harder we all are to attack.
We will be back next Tuesday with the latest threats, the freshest intelligence, and the most practical defensive guidance we can give you. Stay patched.
Stay paranoid. See you next Tuesday.